It is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. We will get to in just a few minutes here. Big Eagles draft trade rumor that is out there this morning on ESPN. Of course, an hour from now, the Daily Mock at 1 o'clock. We're getting close to the end here. It is NFL Draft Week Thursday night. We have a big draft show here on WIP. We'll get you details of all that coming up. So we'll do some Eagles in a few minutes. Of course, the Sixers is the main conversation today. And Joel Embiid. I mean, look, he wasn't bad the other night, but I think they need more out of him to win this series. 0-5 from the field in the fourth quarter. Just didn't have lift after the dunk issue with the second quarter. Hugh and Kyle thought it was a possible momentum changer.
It was a momentum changer, man. It had the chance to be the momentum.
It could have been. Yeah, unfortunately, it kind of moved things the other way.
Yeah, it got bad.
And he got hurt again, or he tweaked it, or the scar tissue. I thought it was unnecessary, the risk there. 215-592-9494. And, of course, the Phillies. Red hot right now. 6 in a row. Trey is look, I mean, he's hitting like a guy that gets MVP votes. And I said before the season, I didn't think we'd see that Trey again. He's done it so far, you know, 20-something games into the season. And Rojas, Hugh's guy, really has turned his season around, and this offense has gotten going to go along with the pitching. Let's go to the phone lines here. Ron in Montco. Hey, Ron.
Ron.
What's up, guys?
How we doing, Ron?
We're doing good, man. I'll tell you, man, Philly sports is like, I mean, it's like bizarro land is what it is. I mean, we got a point guard, or, you know, our center thinks he's a point guard, right? We got our four hitter hitting in the leadoff spot. The guy leads the league in home runs almost every year for the last 3 years, but we hit him in leadoff. So, I mean, I don't get it. I don't get it. And I don't see how this guy's going to – I mean, this is like Groundhog Day is all it is.
Well, who do you want to attack here? What are you feeling on Embiid? What do you think here?
Well, you know, first of all, no, he didn't need to make that off the glass play. He didn't need to do that. He's, you know, but he did it, and then he came down wrong. The thing of it is, he laid there for how many minutes? 5 minutes he laid there until they picked him up, carted him off. He walks off the court, stays in there. Then he comes out, and he's playing again. So the guy's a drama queen. That's what he is. It's not enough to be a star and make all the money that he makes. It's just not enough for him. You know, he's just – there's something about the guy.
Always want attention.
I don't know, Q. Is he not a drama queen?
I mean, like
– have you been following him his whole career here?
He does like attention, yeah.
I mean, yeah, most people that play professional sports, they crave attention.
I'm okay with the attention. Just give me a field goal in the fourth quarter. Give me – you can't be 0-5 in the fourth quarter.
Rod, could I ask you this, though? Before he fell on the ground
– yeah.
Before he fell on the ground, that was a phenomenal play, though. Were you like everybody else, like, ooh? Everybody was like, ooh.
No, you're right. But you know what? He's not a point guard. He's not a guard. I mean, the guy's, you know, he's a point guard stuck in a center's body.
Yeah,
I mean,
first
of all, the guy's living up. Listen, he did play some defense. He was going to the defensive rim, okay? But he will not go into the offensive rim, and that's where we need him. Because he can't run the court. He can't run the court.
Well, in the second half, he didn't. I mean, yeah, he wasn't moving.
He can't run the court.
Yeah, that knee was kneeing.
Yeah, well, that's what it is. This has been the story of our lives with this guy. There's no doubt. I've never seen a big man with so agile and so with such touch. I've never seen it in my life other than him. But at the same time, you know, the guy's made of glass. You know, he's made of glass. You just don't have enough. You know, and he's never gonna get you to the final. How can he do it?
Well, we all feel this every time, Ron. I mean, it feels like Groundhog Day. And Ron, we appreciate it, man. It's unfortunate. It feels like that. Now, that's why, for them to get there, I think he needs to be better tonight and moving forward. They got to win this game. I consider it a must-win. I know we have a poll-up, must-win or can't lose tonight. I saw must-win was running away with this thing as people are really thinking deep about this question.
You know, surprisingly, I did not expect this at all. Some people not getting the joke?
No.
Huh.
I mean, I think of it as one that if you spend a few minutes on it, you'll understand the gist of the question.
No, well, everything that we do and put out is completely and 100% serious.
Totally.
So, 100%. You know, people struggle with that.
So here's the other thing about Joel and playoff games. It is pretty remarkable. He has that down. I count the Heat game the other night as a playoff game. The NBA doesn't, I guess. I don't know where you put those games. Are they regular season games? I don't know how they count them. But this doesn't really count as a playoff game, according to the NBA. But I'll count it. 9 straight playoff games and Embiid has shot under 50%. He has to be better. I mean, like, he has to be, because we know he's better than that. This season, in the regular season, he shot 52. The year before, his MVP year, he shot 54%. 499, 21, 22, basically exactly 50%. 51% in 2021. I mean, it's basically for 4 years, he shot over 50%, yet in 9 straight playoff games, he's been under. That's why I think they need him to be better. Joe in the Northeast. What's up, Joe?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up, Joe?
About the Sixers, the Knicks, everybody's forgetting. The Knicks were the number one team in the NBA in offensive rebounding.
Yes, they were.
Right? And Joe, this McBride coming off the bench, he turned that game completely around. We had a 9-point lead after one, and that guy came in there. And this guy is not no one-game wonder. When Brunson was out, he came in and filled in admirably. So what I'm saying, when that guy's on the floor, Nurse has to have Tyrese's minutes, where Tyrese, being the quickest guy, is on him, all right? And I would start, as I've been saying, start Paul Reed instead of Tobias. Let Tobias come off the bench with Batum and Buddy Hield and all. I you know, if Hield could shoot a little bit, I would even let Kyle Lowry run that second team a little bit there. But you know, the way Hield is playing, because Josh Hart, I'm a Villanova guy, so I know these guys. And one thing I think why the Knicks were so good against us during the year is the Wells Fargo Center is like a home away from home for those Villanova kids. You know, they know the backdrop and the shooting. So, you know, just like they play in the Garden for 41 games, they're well familiar with Wells Fargo.
Well, that's a good point. Yeah, for a lot of that, you know, like half that team, they're very familiar with this building. Joe, we appreciate the phone call. It's a good call. As far as the Tobias thing tonight, we'll see. But I think a lot of people here want to see Paul Reed get more minutes because he can rebound, right?
D-ball Paul, yeah, just a little bit more because, like, but here's the thing. This is where I am with Tobias Harris. At some point, you're going to need him. And he hasn't had, the last two outings, hasn't been great. He has not been great. But somewhere down the line, Tobias Harris is going to have his moment. And you just have to rely on that. Just like the other night, how for Hart, it was a great night for him shooting. Like, you're gonna have nights where you're hot and cold. Unfortunately for Tobias Harris, the two nights that we've needed him, he hasn't come up big for us at all. He's given us quick math on that, 15 points?
Something like that in the last two games. So yeah. I was about to take a little exception, maybe laugh at your saying at some point he'll have his moment. But, I mean, he was on fire with predictions here, so who am I? Who am I to say that Tobias Harris won't have a moment?
You know what's funny? I could just imagine, like, diehard basketball fans, when they hear me say stuff like that, they probably get thoroughly irritated until they actually see it.
Do you know what my issue with Tobias is? Like, all right, his shooting is off right now, right? That happens to players.
Yeah.
But, like, Kyle Lowry does a lot of things to help the team win, even when he's not scoring, right? He'll tip a pass.
The hustle yeah. And the running up and down the court steal. The way he is, yeah.
It just feels like Tobias when he's
taking up space.
Yes. I'm glad
no,
you said it.
No,
because
I get
there.
It. No, and it didn't help, Joe, that when he had a series against the Heat where – I think he shot two shots. He clanged them off.
Yeah.
And it was just – it just so happened they shot and had a shot of his face and what he looked like. He just looked like he would have rather been anywhere else than where he was right now when he made those mistakes.
So I did something that you would do. You'd be proud of this, Hugh. You know, you'd like to go to the comments section?
I go straight to the comments.
So I was watching the video of Embiid when he got hurt on the alley-oop dunk.
Yeah.
So someone noticed that if you look at the bench, right, the whole bench has emotion right away, right?
Yeah.
It's like, first the emotion is like, wow, look at this cool play about to happen. Then you see their faces change because they realize their guy just got hurt. You know who's sitting there almost looking like dead in his eyes, like no emotion? Tobias. Like, I, and now look, to be fair, it may have just been a weird camera thing with, like, his reaction.
It just caught him. He was just shocked a little.
I'm not saying I don't believe he didn't care. I'm sure he had emotion. I'm sure he was hoping his teammate was okay. It's just funny because people are now even looking at his facial expressions on the bench and saying, like,
he's getting caught in the wrong moment.
Here's the thing. Do I think they can actually – I don't think they're actually going to bench him and he won't play. He's going to play. So to your point, Hugh, he's going to play.
He has to –
but maybe not 31 minutes. Maybe we could drop those down to 20.
Well, I think the ebb and flow of this game is going to predict on how much Tobias plays tonight, because you're going to need some more from that position. And if he's not giving it to you, then you have to do something. Maybe you start Batum out there. Maybe let him get
high. I wouldn't mind that. All right, before we get back to the phones, we'll get back to all your calls on the Sixers. We do have ourselves quite the Eagles rumor that is out there in terms of the NFL draft and in terms of what could happen on Thursday night. So we're sitting here right now, pick number 22.
22?
But according to Adam Schefter, ESPN this morning, the Eagles could be looking to move up with a particular position in mind. Here it is. So Schefter this morning talked about Howie's history of trading up in the first round. They did it in 2019 for Diller. They did it in 2021 for Devontae Smith. 2022 for Jordan Davis. I actually forgot until this morning they traded up a spot to get Jalen Carter last year. Like, Howie very rarely sits at the spot they are.
Yeah, he likes to move around.
Okay, well, how about this one? So if Roseman wants a corner at number 22, this is according to Schefter. I'm reading Schefter's article this morning. If Roseman wants a corner at number 22, as many people around the league believe he could, he might have to move up again. Per sources, he has already been calling around, gauging what a trade-up might look like to be prepared for what has become a near-annual tradition. So, Hugh, it sounds like a trade-up for a corner could be the
path. Uh-oh, we're going to get a young Thundercat that's going to play. I'm okay with that. You know how I feel about these youngins, man. Let them youngins play.
So, I got two names. The two names I feel like, if he's going up for a young Thundercat corner, doesn't it feel like it's Terrion Arnold or Quinyon Mitchell? Like, those are the two,
Quinyon will feel like he's going to,
Now, I like Cooper DeJean a lot. I'm not sure if it's a trade-up. Now, maybe it's a small trade-up, right? Like, they're afraid they lose him if Quinyon Mitchell's gone and Arnold's gone and they move from, like, 22 to 19 to make sure they get Cooper DeJean as the third quarter. I could see that. But if they're going up, let's say they're going up, like, 8 or 10 spots, feels like Quinyon Mitchell out of Toledo or Terrion Arnold, that's the guys they're going for, one of those two guys. Good with this?
Yeah, I'm okay with that. Getting a young corner.
Would you trade one of the two second-round picks? They have number 50, they have 53. Would you give away one of those to get up for the guy, the corner?
To get a corner?
To get the one, the one you want.
So we're not getting one of the top three players. We're not getting three good players with 53.
Right, you're taking one. One of your two second-round picks and giving it away to move up in the first round. You good with that?
Yeah, I'm good with that. Because you're going to get a bona fide player that's going to play right away.
So Howard has been on this every time we've talked to him for the past couple weeks, that they have 9 draft picks. And on a team like this, basically the whole offense is set, right?
He's not going to get a whole lot of people that are going to play.
Yeah, I mean, the idea that 9 of these guys, now we could account for some misses and some hits and whatever, but like 9 rookies walking into camp along with undrafted guys, there's not many roster spots to go around, especially on offense. So in theory, I'm okay with this, but it does put pressure on Howie if he does it. Like, you got to land the right guy. I mean, 2 years ago, he moved up and gave away 3 picks for Jordan Davis, and so far, no, it hasn't worked. Right? He gave away picks for Andre Diller. Didn't work. Now, he gave away a pick to go get Jalen Carter. That looks like it's going to be a good one down the line. If they could get Arnold or if they could get Quinyon Mitchell, I like it. I mean, like, those guys, from everything we've seen, everything we've read, they look like they are starting corners
bonafide.
In the NFL. Bonafide.
Bonafide.
You know, it might mean we could maybe cut Bradbury after the draft.
Yeah, something's going to happen. You get one of those corners, somebody's not keeping their job.
Of course.
And I would think that it would be Bradbury. I've been on this for since the season ended. I want them both. I want two new corners, to be totally honest. But if we get one, that's the upgrade, and we'll figure out the other position as we get through the season.
Yeah, I would think, unless there's a reason for them to be behind, if they move up for a player like Mitchell or Arnold, I would think they have a chance to play right away, Hugh. It wouldn't shock me if we're at training camp, and it's obvious from day one of those two kids is better than Bradbury right now. I just put them on the field, and let's figure it out. So that is the buzz out there, according to Schefter. The Eagles are already making trade calls, gauging what it would take to trade up for a corner in the draft Thursday night. All right, 215-592-9494. Terrence in Springfield. What's up, Terrence?
Hey, Joe Kyle, what's up, man?
How we doing, buddy?
Man? A quick thing on the Phillies. Well, I want to touch on the Sixers. I was watching the game the other day. The first thing I when B went down, first thing I'm thinking is, here we go again. Here's the deja vu. But then I'm thinking again, this guy is out there trying to dunk the ball. If you know your leg is not healed correctly, keep your game like you were playing, like how Joker style. He was playing like, I feel like he was playing like Joker. He wasn't really coming out, lifting off the ground. He was staying with a jump shot, with fundamentals. But I feel like he gave it his all. He had 28, Maxie had 33. Tobias Harris, Kelly Oubre, Batum, these guys have to help. That's what everybody was saying this year. We got a better bench. Why do you have to show me that? So far, Tobias Harris can't even score 10 points. Are you kidding me? This guy and his father talking all this trash, and you can't even score 10 points. I feel like when the moment gets big, Tobias Harris shrinks.
Get small.
And it's starting to be annoying at this point. And he has to go. I don't know how they played out his contract this long, because he's not a person. I was watching the other game the other day, the Lakers, mm-hmm. D'Angelo Russell. He shrinks. There's players in the playoffs that they just shrink in the playoffs.
You're right, Terrence. There are. The NBA is, I think, maybe more than any other sport. It happens where you look at a guy and look at his numbers, like, yeah, he averages 18 or 20, but you put it in the playoffs and it's just they shrink.
Yeah, you ball the whole regular season, but then when a moment gets big, you shrink. You're going to see different defenses. You're going to see tougher defenses. And I feel like Embiid is going to start to – it's too much pressure on him. If he starts to keep giving his all, he doesn't have any help, he's going to start to crumble. And we all know how Embiid is when he wants the attention. Like, I saw him on the ground. He's, like, laying on the ground for a long time. We know how he is. He wants the attention when he gets hurt. So, like, these guys have to pick him up, and that's where Kyle Lowry comes in. And if he can keep bringing the toughness, because New York is tough. And if they win game two, we're in trouble, because this team is New York is a grinded out team, and we can't take that for granted. A quick thing on the Phillies.
Mm-hmm.
I was hearing about we wanted to get a Mike Trout, but I feel like right now, man, we're a game behind Atlanta. We're like one of the best teams record wise in baseball right now. And I feel like I'm seeing a hunger from this team. We have the best pitching right now. So I feel like if our bats come alive, I feel like if it don't broke, don't fix it. We might not even need Mike Trout.
Well,
but I feel like we might need one more bat.
They do. Yeah. Well, look, I think they're going to need a bat, Terrence. Terrence, a great phone call as always. Now, can they get Trout? Will he actually ask out? I'm wearing the sweatshirt right now. Ask out Trout. I don't know. But I think they're going to need another bat. The Rojas thing is great. If he could hold his own offensively with that defense, you know, it actually could come back to Castellanos. That is more of the issue long-term, you know, than the Rojas thing. 215-592-9494. Let's go to Pat, who's up next. What's up, Pat?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good,
hey, what's up, Pat.
What's up?
Yeah, I just want to talk about, you know, the Sixers and Embiid. And, you know, I think he's just really being unfairly, like, he's being slandered right now, you know? I mean, there's an old term, say, still waters run deep. Just because he doesn't show the fire doesn't mean it's in him. He's competitive. He is a dog. I think somebody didn't say he was a dog like 7 calls ago. It wasn't Ron or whatever his name is, who's too busy watching ESPN Classic, saying, like, you know, it's a new NBA. You know, we don't play back to the center basketball anymore.
Well, right? It's you're right. But at the same time, we could ask, you know, it's a little bit – in the fourth quarter, he's standing outside the three-point lane. I mean, because he's either out of gas or his knee's bothering him and he has no lift. That's not going to work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I get that. Again, it's just the new NBA. It seems like they love that pick and roll with him up top with Maxie. It works in the regular season. Let's just hope, you know, he can figure it out. Another thing, I think, you know, somebody said he isn't a great, like, he's not grabbing rebounds. To be fair, he's never really been a great rebounder through, like, his, I don't know, 8 years. I think, like, somebody who's supposed to help there is Tobias Harris making $40 million. If you're not going to score, like, at least help us rebound. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I agree with that, Pat. But I think we need more than 8 out of Embiid, right? I'm not asking for 20. I'm not saying he's, you know, could be Will Chamberlain out there with 25 rebounds, but 8 rebounds in 37 minutes. You know what it felt to me, Pat? It felt like because he couldn't jump, they were jumping over him. Like, Josh Hart shouldn't be getting rebounds over Joel. That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to be in a better body position.
Yeah.
Maybe he isn't jumping off it, but, you know, I don't know. I don't think that him jumping is the, you know, factor in him grabbing rebounds. He's got to get better body position, which he's really never been good at because, again, he's 7'2". It's the NBA. You think he'd get at least 15 rebounds a year. You know, I mean, Drummond was a much, much, much better rebounder than him. And, you know, for all those years, and you know, he's just like, he's never been a rebounder, is what it is. He's an all-time scorer. The guy's an unbelievable scorer. Let's calm down. I think the national media is also giving too much credit to Mitchell Robinson and Isaiah Hartenstein. I don't get that. They're okay. They're not great. But yeah, I mean, he'll be fine. He'll be fine. They won the first battle. They didn't win the war.
They did not. And that, Pat, that's why tonight is everything, man. Pat, we appreciate the phone call. If the Sixers win tonight, it's amazing how, and we do this in NBA series, right? Like the tone shifts all the way. If they win tonight, coming back home for 3 and 4 here, we will be so excited they're going to win this
series. Yeah, because they're back home. Yeah. And that's why they call it a series, and that's why they play a series. It's like the first game is always an overreaction. And plus, playing in the Garden, playing with that crowd was juiced up. They were excited because they haven't had real meaningful basketball there in a while. Mm. So that's what – that played into it. And you could see that the guys that were there, they were feeding off that emotion, and they were hot. Like, see them try to do it again.
Well,
like,
especially because, Josh Hart. I mean,
yeah, he was on – fire. And I can see him try to do it again.
He's not a great shooter at all, but the fact that he nailed those.
Oh, no, he was on one the other night, you know, fist pumping and the crowd going crazy.
You could tell their game plan was to let him shoot.
Yeah, and the crowd, just like you see all the star-studded crowd with all the Knicks fans who ain't never been to a game ever until they went to the playoffs. So, yeah, it was kind of interesting.
Well, it was a good crowd. I expect – I was watching all the series this weekend. It was by far, and this series will have it, by far the best crowds in both places.
I mean, no question.
I mean, some of these games were kind of blah over the weekend. I think we had
the one with Ant-Man and
Durant.
They were going at it a little bit.
Yeah, I think, you know, last night was a close game with the Thunder and the Pelicans, but most of the games weren't that good. Our game was one of the more entertaining, just back and forth, kind of close fourth quarter games.
Yeah, mm-hmm. In typical Sixers fashion, the KD, the Anthony Edwards thing. I mean, that game sucked.
Right.
It was cool that moment.
And we had to wait 20 minutes for the tip.
Right. Oh, my God. That's right. So hold on. Now that we're on that subject, like the Sixers being pushed back 20 minutes because of a game that was a 20-point deficit with 3 minutes left is ridiculous.
So what do you want them to do, though?
Start the game.
So they can
put it on an ESPN 2.
I know, but that always makes me crazy too, because I sit down, I know what channel the game is on, then I gotta go find it.
Oh, big deal.
I gotta go
find
the game.
Flip the channel. It's 2024, dude. Listen, we're gonna complain about flipping channels.
I get that. I settle in. I got the game on. I don't want to move.
Would you rather start the Sixers game on time or watch a game that's 20 points deficit and out of question?
Okay. So here's my
answer. The last 3 minutes.
I understand your point. The game was at 6 o'clock, though, right? It wasn't like it was taking us. Now, if a game tips at 9 and they push it at 9:30, I'm falling asleep by the fourth quarter. Like we got to start that one.
We got stuff to do.
Stuff to do. You had plans
Saturday
night.
Saturday?
Oh, yeah, I guess.
Yeah, plans. Yes, people, Joe, had plans on Saturday nights.
I'm old. I have kids now. I have plans. I'm watching the game and go to sleep. All right, 215-592-9494. Eagles draft 4 days away, and the Phillies are red hot, going for 7 straight tonight. But there's an issue we didn't get to with the Phillies, and it's about to come up here in a significant way. What to do with Taiwan Walker? He says he's back. An interesting answer from Topper about that on Friday. Or should just Spencer Turnbull stay in this rotation? We'll talk about that next. Of course, all your calls on the Sixers. 215-592-9494. It's the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Just clarify on Turnbull, you're concerned about his innings limit over the course of the season, but it's still pretty clear cut that when Walker comes back, Turnbull moves to the pen?
No, it's not clear cut. No.
Well, better not be clear cut, you know, because one guy here is pitching his butt off. The other guy, I'm not sure if he's actually ready. Welcome back. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. We'll get back to all of the Sixers phone calls and the Eagles with the rumors they may trade up for a corner in the NFL draft. But, Hugh, the Phillies, the vibes are really good right now in almost everything, right? The offense, like you called, has picked up. Trey has been outstanding lately. Rojas has figured it out. And the pitching staff has been, for my money, the best in the National League. And you could put them right up there with the best in baseball. That's how good the starting pitching has been so far. And, Hugh, part of that starting pitching has been Spencer Turnbull, who took a no-hitter deep into the game on Friday night. He has a 1.23 ERA through 4 starts. He has been outstanding. Yet, it sounds like the plan is going to be to take him out of this rotation. He's going to pitch this week against the Reds, and it sounds like the next time through, Taiwan Walker goes into the rotation, Turnbull leaves the rotation. So Walker has gone through his rehab. He pitched yesterday at AAA. He got up to 102 pitches. I mean, obviously, I didn't watch the game. It's AAA, but I did see some of what he did. Only got two swings and misses. It didn't seem like he was dominant yesterday. Hugh, I know money talks, and he's a $72 million pitcher. I have no interest in taking Spencer Turnbull out of this rotation to put Walker back in. This is not an easy call. It's a good problem to have, right, having another healthy pitcher to go along with a good one. But I want Turnbull to keep pitching.
Yeah, I mean, but it looks like he's going to go into that bullpen and be your long relief. I mean, I don't have a problem with that. And plus, you know, you got to give Taiwan Walker a chance to work his way back in there. And I know that nobody cares about that. But, you know, you are paying this man a lot of money. And a lot of times in situations like this, the money does talk. And you do want him to be the guy that you have to depend on at some point during the season. So it's always good to have Turnbull. You know what he can do and if you need him to pitch like that. But he's going to go back into the bullpen and be a long man.
So two things I don't care about, I'm going to tell you right now. One, how much money Taiwan Walker makes. And I know you're right. I don't have to care, and I won't. That's the Phillies' problem, not my problem. Here's the other thing, and I want to make sure I'm not saying this in a crass way, because I don't want any player to ever get hurt, and I understand teams have to think about the health of their players. But you know what I keep hearing about Turnbull?
What's that?
He hasn't pitched many innings, right, because he's had a lot of injuries the last couple years. So he's going to run out of innings. You know, we don't want him to hurt his arm. And again, I'm going to say this in the nicest possible way.
The nicest way.
Spencer Turnbull's not a prospect. He's not part of the Phillies' future, most likely, right? He's on a one-year deal. He's kind of a journeyman pitcher who's helping the Phillies right now.
Mm-hmm.
Why am I, as a fan, worried about his innings and his pitches? Like, this isn't like Andrew Painter or Mick Abel, where in a perfect world, they're here for the next 10 years. This guy's a one-year deal. Like, if he's pitching well right now, let him pitch. I just, the rush to get Walker back in doesn't make any sense to me. Here's what I would do. Bring Walker back, make him the long man in the bullpen, and then if Turnbull starts to struggle, we swap him back out. I just feel like the Phillies are in a division race against a great Braves team, and I got to hope that Taiwan Walker's ready to pitch next weekend. It feels weird. Like, imagine if I told you without saying the names, the Phillies have a pitcher that through four starts has a 1.2 ERA, and we're taking him out of the rotation.
That would sound a little ridiculous.
Yeah.
That would sound a little ridiculous. And to be honest, Joe, I don't have a good reason to tell you why they're doing this. Outside of the fact that they believe in Taiwan Walker and they're going to give him the opportunity to go out there and fail. Now, if it doesn't work, it's always not a bad problem to have, knowing that you can put Spencer Turnbull back in there, and he can pitch for you. But I can't give you an honest reason why they're doing this. Because even when they made the announcement, everybody was kind of like,
huh?
Why would you do that?
They're giving Turnbull one more start. He's scheduled to pitch either Wednesday or Thursday in Cincinnati against the Reds. I wonder if they changed their mind on Wednesday or Thursday. Like, let's just say he goes out there Wednesday. It's six shutout innings against Cincinnati Reds, and he lowers his ERA to like 1.0. I mean, you'd have to be crazy to just take him out of the rotation. Kyle, what are you feeling on this? I mean, Walker says he's ready. Yesterday, he got two swings and misses on 102 pitches in AAA, and I'm supposed to send him out there and take Turnbull out.
Yeah, he can say he's ready all he wants. I'm not ready to see Taiwan Walker back in this Phillies rotation as the number five guy. At least, if they want to do something like that, they can put him in as the sixth guy.
Sure.
But you can't take Spencer Turnbull out of this rotation. He's pitching too well. And I just don't like Taiwan Walker's attitude at all. I mean, he was
still rubbed you the wrong way.
Well, crying about not getting into the rotation in the playoffs. Like, sorry, buddy, you suck. And he's going to probably do the same thing where he's crying about getting hit. Like, if he's a sixth man, I'm sure he's going to mope about that. Like, I just don't want any parts of Taiwan Walker. The Phillies pitching staff has been outstanding. He feels like a guy that's going to, like, tank the ERA average. Like, you throw him in with his 4-5. And all the rest of the guys got two O's. Like, it's just not a guy that I want being a part of this thing.
And I know you might say, Joe, it's a fifth starter. Like, is it that big of a difference? But I think we could be in a division race that comes down to a game or two against the Braves. Like, it wouldn't shock me at all if the Braves win 95 and the Phillies win 94 or the opposite. Like, they're really good. And the Braves haven't really slowed down yet without Strider. They're winning. I think the Braves are the only team in the NL with a better record than the Phillies by one game. I think they are. I mean, like, these teams are really good. And if they're coming down to a game or two, I need the most wins as possible. These games count as well. 215-592-9494. You can weigh in on the Turnbull, Taiwan Walker impending decision for the Phillies. Do we have some quick news here?
Yeah. So according to the Phillies, Bryce Harper is going on the paternity list today.
Paternity.
Congratulations to the Harpers.
Cody Clemens, now active. But no Harper tonight, it looks like.
This is baby three for Bryce?
No, I just find it funny when you hear you say a man's going on paternity. I get it, but it's just kind of
funny.
They're not putting him on maternity leave, Hugh.
No,
I mean, that's a little bit
better. I get it. It just sounds funny. I mean, congratulations to Bryce.
That's awesome.
Listen, that's an awesome time. Awesome time.
What are you trying to say, Hugh?
Nothing. None at all.
Trying to call Harper soft?
No, I'm just saying. I just thought it was funny, like the paternity pops going on paternity leave.
Soft.
Well, what do you call it if it's not paternity
leave? I don't know. I just thought it was funny. I don't know what you call it outside it.
That's
it
what
funny.
It's called.
And yeah. You have to call it the paternity list. Well, congratulations to the Harpers. And that's awesome. Baby number
not
three.
Not playing tonight.
Well, no. He's a little busy tonight. And they're at Cincinnati anyway, so I don't think he can make his way out there. But no, congratulations. And the Phillies have obviously welcome him back when he arrives. So I wonder what they do. Was he a little Bowman first for a few days? I imagine this is a few-day thing. I mean, every player kind of does it different in baseball because, like, in football, it's only one game a week, so you could kind of work your way around it. I don't know when he returns. Maybe it's later this series. Maybe it's in San Diego this weekend. I just wonder who we think maybe Bohm to first and get.
Clemens is up, so he's a first baseman.
He could. But do you really want Cody Clemens starting?
Oh yeah,
you do.
No, but I mean, if you can, that way, you can keep Bohm at third.
You could, or you could get Whit Merrifield some at bats, hit a home run Friday.
I mean, and then you got Sosa to play with. They have a lot of different ways they can go.
Yeah, so we'll see. All right, congratulations to the Harpers. 215-592-9494. Mad Mike in King of Prussia. What's up?
Go.
What's up, Mad Mike?
Hey, how we doing, guys?
Good, Mike.
Man. What's going on, man?
I'm just calling because let's all be really honest. Joel Embiid is only back so that he can say, I came back, and then he's hoping this series is over quick so he can recuperate so he can play in the Olympics. He does not care about this playoff series.
Well,
I don't know if I believe that.
I would hope that's not true.
I think it is true. Yeah. If it were any other player, I would think they wouldn't be coming back at all. But he wants to play in the Olympics. He's already had two games where he's had, like, he's fallen down and he's looked like he's re-injured his knee. And I swear to you, this guy only really cares about playing the Olympics or anything that gives him accolades. And this playoff series does not mean anything to him.
I don't know if I believe that, man, Mike.
Well, you should, because that's true.
He feels like the weight of his legacy is starting to wear him a little bit, and he realizes that he ain't got too many of these left, man. I think he's going to try to fight through this, and I think he's going to play well tonight.
Also, let's be really honest with the Phillies as well. They're as great as they are beating up on garbage teams, their bullpen is atrocious. And when you start playing real teams, this team is going to get exposed.
Well, they'll start seeing more real teams. And, Mike, we appreciate it. So, look, we could be real the last week. The Rockies and White Sox, it was the most favorable stretch of a schedule you're going to get in a long time. I mean, those teams are – the White Sox make the bad news Bears look like a real baseball team.
Yeah, they were pretty bad. They were pretty bad.
Now, the schedule's about to get a little bit more challenging. The Reds this week, I think the Reds could be a playoff
team. They're like 12-9.
They're 12-9.
Yeah, they're 12-9.
And then they go to San Diego. And San Diego's 12-12. They're, you know, they could pitch a little bit. And they have some hitters that could – I mean, Tatis is obviously a great player. They're a decent team, and they'll be on the road. And the next week, they go see our buddy Mike Trout and the Angels. So, like, these teams aren't great they're facing the next 10 days, but they're certainly
winnable teams.
Yeah.
And I think there's something to be said about having confidence and momentum going into this series as well. A lot of people talked about the fact, and it's not lost to me, that the two teams that you played against are pretty bad.
Yeah.
But they get paid the same day that everybody else in Major League Baseball gets paid, I would assume. So, I mean, that's not your fault. If they're bad, my coach used to say all the time, if they're bad, beat them because they're bad. And you went out there, you did exactly what you were supposed to do. You beat the bad team.
So, Mike brought up a point about the bullpen. Obviously, the starters have been great. The bullpen's been a little choppier. I still feel good about this bullpen. I feel it's been a couple of bad innings. So, like, Alvarado, I feel good when he's out there. Hoffman's been excellent. Strom's been maybe their best guy. Sir Anthony gives me a little worry. I don't think he's been great. Soto gives me a little worry. But now they have Kirkering back. I still feel... Like, the top four or five relievers they have, I still feel good about those guys, Kyle. I'm not worried. Soto, I don't love. I haven't loved since he got here, but it's still a good bullpen.
It's really just Soto and Pinto who've not been good.
Yeah, and Pinto's just taking up space until they get another long reliever.
Those are guys that you put in when you're up seven runs, and you just hope that they don't let up another seven.
Now, they almost did.
They've tried to. But, you know, that's not the guy. Like, if it were guys like Alvarado or whoever that you're relying on and you think are going to need to pitch big innings in the postseason, then you worry. But if it's guys that, like, really are rarely going to see the bump, then it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, look, Alvarado, Hoffman, Strom are the three best. I think Kirkering's right there with them. And then they have to get Sir Anthony going again. I mean, that's going to be the key to have five good relievers. And then they'll figure it out. The pitching, I have honestly no concerns with the pitching unless they make this silly move and take our guy Turnbull, he's our guy now, out of this rotation for Taijuan Walker. again, I know it's just a triple-A game, and maybe he's just trying to, like, work on things for you, like a spring training game. He only got two swings and misses yesterday, 102 pitches against the minor
that
leaguers.
That bothers you.
Well, because if he can't get minor leaguers to swing and miss, how's he going to get big leaguers to swing and miss?
Yeah, maybe, like you said, Joe, maybe he was working on something.
I got a spoiler for you, Joe. Yeah. He's not. He's not going to get major leaguers.
I don't think he is either. Gary in Whitehall. What's up, Gary?
Yo, hey, how you doing, Joe and you? What's happening?
Gary,
what's
how up, you been, Gary? Buddy?
I'm doing all right, Joe. First of all, yeah, deja vu again. There was no need to do that fancy off-the-backboard alley-oop to myself, knowing that you're not 100%, knowing that more than likely you're going to hurt yourself, and you're going to do something stupid like that. And that was just idiotic. Here we go again. That's all I got to say about the Sixers. They're done. They've been done. And I believe it or not, I got to agree with Mad Mike. It's all about the personal accolade. So,
well, I hope that's not it. And we can't get in the guy's head. But you and I see the dunks similarly. I just thought it was unnecessary. An unnecessary risk on a knee that obviously isn't right. And then, you know, he just wasn't the same after
that's
the game.
A nasty dunk, though.
Right.
Well, it was
exactly.
Yeah, but that's not what it's about. It's about winning basketball.
It was about changing momentum. I am stuck, and I'm adamant about the fact that that would have been, if he would have landed correctly, that would have been a momentum swinger.
2 points True. Is 2 points.
That was still a momentum swinger, though.
But he didn't. But anyway, real quick on Howie. I really just want to talk about the Phillies, but really quick on Howie. You know damn well he's going into the trenches. That's all he does. He's first round. He's going to go get his heir apparent to Lane Johnson, and that's where he's going. I'd love to see a corner. I don't think it's going to happen, but you never know.
I don't know, dog.
You never know.
I think they're taking a corner because this whole hyped about them not taking a corner since in the first round since Lito Shepard, I think there's a possibility that they might need one. They might take one.
Well, they need one. We'll
they
see if they take one.
Well, it's true. I mean, now you say that, they, you know, never want to spend a lot of money on a running back either. So,
yeah, this Gary, that. Maybe this is the off season where he kind of breaks from his own tradition. We'll see. Gary, I think if they stay at 22, lineman probably is where they land because the two big corners are going to go way before 22. So, I think you're right. They go trenches if they stay at 22, but if they move up, you know, maybe they go get one of these corners.
True. But as far as Phillies go, hey, you know, Yogi always says it's the best. Baseball is all about 90% pitching. And, you know, I thought the 2011 Four Aces was the best pitching staff I ever saw. I don't know about that now. I mean, this staff, and I totally agree. Hey, Tylan Walker, sorry. You know what? You know, he comes back in. Okay, yeah, you have Turnbull to piggyback him. But I don't mess with that rotation right now. I don't mess with it one iota. Let him rehab till he gets it all right. And, you know, he's getting paid, so what's he worried about?
Well, you're right about that. He gets that money either way, Gary. We appreciate it. The other thing with Turnbull is, I get it, Hugh. A lot of people think, because he didn't pitch much last year because he was hurt, right? He doesn't have – Turnbull probably physically can't last the full season.
Mm-hmm.
So some people think, well, get him out now, and then maybe you could preserve his arm. I don't know. If he's got 10 good starts in him, give me 10 good starts and I'll worry about if it's
hurt. Yeah, but you
got
to worry about – wait a minute. Did Gary just say that this is the best pitching staff since the 4-8? You mean like Cole Hamels?
Well, I think the way he framed it was this one he'd put on that level.
In 21 games?
It's early.
It's a little early. That's
I'm not
hyperbole.
There yet. I'm not yeah. there yet.
I mean, you're talking about the one that won the World Series.
No, well, they didn't win it in 2011.
Their
pitching got better as the team made it less far in the playoffs. But the 2011 pitching staff was amazing, right? With Oswalt and Hamels and Lee and Halliday. I don't – like, my instinct right now is they're not quite that great.
Nah. And I was thinking about that because those four, I was thinking about that, those are the ones that – but they did win – those guys did win the World Series.
No. Only Hamels won the World Series.
Okay.
That
okay.
team won 102 games but didn't get out of the first round.
Gotcha.
So – I would say this pitching staff is the best in the NL right now and could be the best all year. But there's still some question marks. Like, could Sanchez keep pitching like this all year? I don't know. I mean, it'd be amazing if he does. But I have no reservation saying how Wheeler belongs in the same category as Halliday and Lee and those guys.
Gotcha. Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah, Wheeler definitely belongs. Nola, he's been good. But again, and we're talking about it's the greatest pitching rotation in Phillies history. If they're below that, it's okay. You willing to go there yet, Kyle? I'm not. It's great as, and they're very impressive. I'm not yet at 2011 level.
No, I wouldn't go there yet. I think they have to dominate in the playoffs.
Yeah, and the other thing is that those 2011 guys, they had a track record before the season. Like, Sanchez doesn't yet, and even Suarez doesn't quite yet.
No, and like, plus, they probably need to do it against more teams than the Rockies and the White Sox.
I think that's fair.
Who are like maybe the two most miserable baseball teams I've ever watched.
The White Sox are dead on April 22nd.
That dude falling, the right fielder falling and tripping over the warning track was like a microcosm of the White Sox.
I don't even know how they get up and suit up to play the rest of the games. Their season is over. It's April 22nd.
Look, Hugh's been on those teams before. He can tell you about it.
Yeah.
That was a shot.
Like,
the 95 Jets.
But you still got to play, man. Like, you still got to play. You're still a professional team.
It's like Hugh and I's fantasy baseball team.
You got to still show up, bro. You got to show up, and you got to play hard. On your resume.
I was about to make fun of your fantasy. But
we show up every week and we play.
I have not started off well this season, so. When did you know the 95 season was over with the Jets? Was it day one or like half the season in?
The 95 season, we went down to Miami and got trounced.
So let's talk about 96. You went 1-15. Did you know in training camp you were bad?
No. No, but when we started losing, like after a while, it was like that ride.
And it dawned on
it. Yeah, that ride home became longer and longer.
So you guys started 0-8. At what point of that season did you say, I'm on a bad team?
Well, at that point, you were just like, man, are we going to ever win? But I remember. Like the old heads used to say, man, you better play hard because you're an independent contractor. That's the thing I remember. They kept telling me, you're an independent contractor. And whomever we get in here, because we knew Kotite was done. So it's like, whoever comes in here, he's going to look at that film. And he's going to see who quit. And the guys that quit, they're going to be out of here. And the guys that quit, they got them out of there quick. Like that's the reality of being on the team that is playing like that. And I would assume it's the same in every professional sport. Like, you know, as bad as you are, you still got to go out there and play. You still got to put forth the effort. And that's the thing that people are going to look at. Because, you know, you're making a lot of money. So you still have to go out there and play. That's why when I hear people say, oh, well, they're a bad team. Bad teams can sneak up on you on any given day. It used to be in the NFL any given Sunday, but on baseball it's any given day. They play so much.
I have no problem with the Phillies beating up on bad teams. That's how you get to 95 wins.
Yeah. And guess what? The Braves have a bad team that they're getting ready to play. I think they're getting ready to play the Marlins.
They are.
And they just took an L. They just took an L to the Rangers. Mm-hmm. They won the series against the Rangers, but they took an L to the Rangers. Now they're getting ready to play the Marlins. So you beat up on the teams you're supposed to beat up on, and the Marlins only won 6 games. So, I mean, nobody's complaining about the Braves' schedule. So that's why I'm not going to complain about what the Phillies are doing. If they're bad, beat them because they're bad.
That's right. And I mean, heck, 2 years ago when the Phillies made the playoffs for the first time in forever, they did it on the back of beating the crap out of the Nationals the whole season. That's the way sports work. I mean, beat up the bad teams, hold your own against the good ones, and you'll rack up enough wins.
That's all it is. You just win. Like, you just win more series than you lose. There it is. You got it.
Kent is in Norristown. Hey, Kent.
That was my favorite Embiid hater today.
Oh, Kent. How are we doing today, buddy?
I'm not doing well, Joe. This is pure madness I'm hearing today.
Well, so wait a second. I got to ask you, as the guy that's the Embiid guy.
Yes.
It's madness for me to say they need a better Embiid to win. That's madness.
I'm not saying that what you're saying, that he does. Yes, of course we need a better Embiid to win.
Well, then what's the madness? What's the madness?
The issue is that the man is out here playing his butt off, and we're complaining about him dunking a ball in a playoff game. Are we serious?
Ken, hold on a second.
Ken, dead ass.
Yeah, can we make sure we have some context here? That wasn't a normal dunk, Kent. It was an alley-oop to himself from almost the free throw line. What are we talking about?
So what did he have to drop 30 feet to do that dunk? He act like it was some immensely type of thing he had to do to the dunk. The man just dunked the ball in the playoff game. What's that here? He just landed wrong. It happens.
But he didn't have to do that. Hold on a second. This is would you agree we're watching one of the most skilled offensive big men ever? Agree?
And he just showed you some more skill.
No. The skill could have been just shoot it.
Okay, just shoot him. But we were complaining about him going hard to the lane, and he went there and he made an impact on that game. I don't care what y'all talk. Embiid didn't lose us that game last night, Joe. Let's be all the way honest. We didn't get no help from our bench, and we were out rebounded that whole game. And it wasn't just Embiid; it was the whole team. It was a lack of effort on the boards last night. Okay, that's where we lost the game at. I'm not going to put this one on Embiid. Of course, Embiid, I heard you tweet. Of course, he's going to be a little bit scared off his knee, but you're supposed to be. He had He just came off of surgery. He got a little bit timid after that. Why wouldn't you get timid? I don't understand why everybody's upset about it, man. He didn't do it on purpose. The man got hurt trying to make a play for his team.
Of course he didn't do it on purpose. I just want to make sure I'm hearing this right. So the reigning MVP, one of the best players in the league, went 0-5 in the fourth quarter, and I'm supposed to sit here and blame the bench.
Oh, and 5 in the fourth quarter. Okay, but so let me ask you a question. Who went off for the New York Knicks?
Who won the game for the New York?
Jalen Brunson, did their superstar go off and beat us last night?
He did not. Nope.
Who beat us last night?
Josh Hart. It was Hart.
Josh Hart.
He went ham.
If they had lost, we could have pointed and said Brunson cost them the game, but they won.
So you admit that it takes other people to help to win games sometimes in the series,
of course it does, Kent. And they got a lot more out of Lowry than we're used to getting. We can't pretend everyone didn't show up in the game. Can't we appreciate it? Again, I'm not saying that they don't need help. Every team needs help. Every player needs help. But I need Embiid to be better. We can't count on the Batum game to come rescue this, save the day again. They need more out of Joel. 215-592-9494. We'll get to all your phone calls here, plus a daily mock at 1 o'clock. And it's Josh Harris about to totally screw up the Commanders. You got to hear what's going on down there. 215-592-9494. Midday show on Sports Radio 94.